everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I'm here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi, everyone.
All right, and we are mailmen, and so we got mail bag, and we have questions. And we also have some comments that came in through the email, classesofmail@gmail.com. You are certainly welcome to send those along as well. And there's a couple of things that I want to talk about before we get into the questions. And one is that it's kind of crazy how we all do the exact same job and we all have the exact same M41, but yet things can be really different from one part of the country to the other. I have a buddy who listens to this podcast who, what happened to my volume?
I have no idea.
No, it does seem down a little bit. Hold on a sec, listeners. All right, is that better? Oh, that's better.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, cool. Oh, yep, that's what happened. Sorry. Okay, all right. So, like, I have a buddy who... I'm good.
Yeah,
now.
You're good.
Okay. So I have a buddy who moved to Idaho from Las Vegas, and he carries the mail up there. And I think he's actually in the same installation as the person who did the theme song for Classes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, and he talked to me about that. Like, dude, when I came up here, I felt like I was a newbie because the procedures are so different and the way management runs things. And so, it is important caveat that Michael and I probably don't give often enough that your mileage may vary. You know, there may be things that are different in your installation or even in your station where, you know, you might have different agreements. There might be things in your local memorandum of understanding that make the answer different for you. Or there may be procedures or who knows what. So the answers aren't always universal. And so with that in mind,
if something that we're saying doesn't make any sense in your station, probably maybe because your LMOU or
it might be maybe your station.
Maybe past practice or something is different than everybody else.
But it might be us too, because I've only worked in the Las Vegas installation. Right. And I presume that's the same
for
you too,
Michael. Well, the JCAM language is still the same as the whole nation.
Yeah, the JCAM
It's a matter of how to interpret that language.
Yeah, that's...
It's the word style they put in the JCAM, like as if they're a lawyer.
And that's one of the reasons...
And it's not too clear.
Right, and that's one of the reasons that Michael says, let management make management's argument. Mm-hmm. You know, don't make their argument for them. We're going to take up for the carriers, and we're going to use the language to help the carriers. That's why that language is written in the first place.
Right.
And so, yeah, we don't want to undo that. All right, so the first is a letter that is more feedback than an actual question, although there's some stuff in here that we can talk about. So this guy writes, this person writes, listening to the latest episode, our last mailbag episode, I'm yelling at the clouds, listening to Michael tell carriers that they can't say no to being mandated after the schedule is posted. Not sure about that. I'm not available is a potential answer. They don't have to submit. All right, so... in a way, he's right. Mm-hmm. So to recap the situation, you know, the weekly schedule goes out on Wednesday. And if you're a full-time regular schedule, you already know what your schedule is. Mm-hmm. And if you're not on the overtime list, if you're off Wednesday, you're off Wednesday. But on Tuesday, management comes to you and says, hey, you're mandated to work tomorrow. Now, that's it. That's management's instruction. Mm-hmm. And we are required to follow instructions.
And literally in the JCAM actually says that too.
That we are required to follow instructions.
And then file a grievance
on the back end. Right.
Back end.
Now, what he's saying is also true.
Yes.
That you can say, I'm not available. And I've done that plenty of times. Mm-hmm. You've probably done that too.
Yes.
Where, hey, I've already got stuff going on tomorrow.
I got an airline ticket.
I got airline tickets. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, whatever it is. I ain't coming in.
Or I have an annual leave in conjunction with the time off.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And so there may be any number of reasons that you can say no. And I've even said no, you can go fuck off and not gotten disciplined for it.
Mm-hmm.
What I said was, hey, I ain't coming in. And if you want to discipline me, go ahead. I know you ain't going to fire me.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked too, and I never got disciplined.
Right.
So this is a good example of your mileage may vary.
And here's the thing too, is if you got a good steward in your office and you said no, well, they're supposed to follow the pecking order.
Yeah.
So if they were not following the pecking order, then then if they try to issue discipline, it's not gonna go anywhere
because
you were breaking another rule.
Yeah, right. It was not a valid instruction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I as a steward, I would try to make the same argument if the ODL isn't maximized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if all those overtime carriers aren't working 12 hours, or if all the day off people aren't right. coming in,
then why are you mandating this
person?
Then
why you should have never yeah. mandated it in the first place. Right. It's an invalid instruction.
Right. And so, a good yeah. steward will fight that argument and you will win. And to get you from saying no to that. So at your station, this person who sent that feedback is that you might have a good steward to fight that. So management will never tell you that, or right. carriers knows that. So the carrier tells the management, no, I'm not doing that.
Exactly. All right. And then he goes on to write, and management instructions while employees are off the clock. Nah, that doesn't work, at least here. They can ask, but no means no. So in this situation, like, this is a good example of why you don't answer your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't even want to have that argument. But I like to use the example when management tries to give you instructions while you're off the clock. They are your supervisor. You're supposed to follow their instructions. But imagine a scenario where you're at the grocery store and you see your supervisor in aisle 3. And your supervisor says, hey, Michael, run over to aisle 8 and grab some beans for me and bring them back here. Do you have to follow that instruction?
No.
No. Because that is not in the context of your working relationship.
Right.
That relationship only exists when you're getting paid and they can instruct you from 9 to 5, but at 5:01, they stop being your supervisor and they can no longer instruct you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, add more nuance.
Sure.
Because all this shit is nuance.
This is all depends on your branch also, because my branch says that if they call you and get hold of you, and if they tell you to come to work or do this and do right. that, and we've had situations that will tell CCAs to go to another station,
right.
and the thing is that your phone is your phone.
Yeah.
But our branch says, well, that is instructions. You need to follow that instruction. So at that point, depending on your branch and how they're going to do it is where right. that –
there's a lot of uh-huh. this stuff where if your union's not going to back you up,
yeah,
then you're going to have a much harder yeah. road.
That's right. What's better, not to answer the phone.
Right. Just don't answer the phone. Right. Because for me, there's an argument there that I'm not an on-call employee.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me all you want, but that ain't my job to be on call. You want me to be on call, you got to pay me for that
And then
time.
When you don't answer, management will text you.
Right.
Okay. And at that point, I said, well, my phone was turned off, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Text me all you want. I'm still mm-hmm. not responding.
Yeah.
All right. And so speaking of... you know, the union's got to have your back. You've got to have those settlements. This emailer goes on. And scanning after 1300 in the station, see the Buffalo, New York arbitration. I don't care about management's internal failure notes. It's enabling intellectually lazy supervision and pigeonholing carriers, resulting in unnecessary double handling of parcels, etc. So we already mentioned this on a previous episode, but we had recorded that episode before the Buffalo, you know, sometimes these episodes sit for a while because we got so much other stuff coming out. Who knows?
Well, after we did that, you had like yeah. 3 or 4 interviews.
Yeah,
so you're
exactly.
putting that up
all
first.
All that's got to come up. Right. Yeah. So just like for your own reference, we're recording this September 4th, 2025. And I think I have like 7 episodes in the can right now and more on the way. And so, like, who knows when this episode's actually going to publish?
See, what we try to do is that I live over 30 minutes away from Alan's house.
Yeah, yeah.
And so whenever I get here, we try to do 2, 3, 4 right. episodes.
To make it worth his while
yeah.
to drive over here.
Yep.
Right, exactly. So who knows when – but when we recorded that one, that Buffalo result had not come out yet. And we err on the side of prudence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that remember, this podcast is aimed at carriers, not at stewards. And as a carrier, if your supervisor gives you an instruction, generally, unless you have a good reason not to, you're going to follow that instruction. That's your safest path. And regarding this decision, I mean, because David Groskopf came onto the podcast and talked about that decision is still for Buffalo, New York. And Michael, if yeah. you file a grievance, if we have that issue come up here in Las Vegas, can we cite that decision out of Buffalo, New York in our grievance?
We can use it as a tool.
Right, for persuasive value.
Mm-hmm.
But that's weird. I have my phone on Do Not Disturb, but calls are still getting through. All right, anyway, we can use it for persuasive value, but it doesn't hold precedent. It's not binding
right.
here.
So most of the arbitration settlement, when it comes to class action, they'll put on their like Buffalo insulation, Las Vegas insulation, you know, and they'll do that. Now, if it says all post office, then arbitrations, that agreement is for all post office. Now,
right.
usually when it's for
right.
all post
like
office,
the document or
they'll end up being in our contract
right.
because
yeah.
it says all post office or
right.
a memorandum.
Yeah, so that's the deal with that. We didn't have that information at that time. But even so, like, dude, David Grosskopf said when he was on here that in the Tonawanda installation, I think it was, there was a lot of carriers getting disciplined for this. And so, you know, you run that risk, mm-hmm. right? If management tells you something, you're not doing it, you run that risk.
Yes.
You know, now they have to go back and undo all that discipline. But in the meantime, you got discipline. Right.
Yes.
And so there are practical considerations. I mean, obviously, David Grosskopf is correct. And this emailer is correct that, yeah, that's management's bullshit. That's not in the M41. I don't have to do that. And I want the listeners of Classes of Mail to be empowered to that level. And that's why we keep having episodes. And that's why we all keep learning. All right. And then... that's it. And then he recaps something about the 3849. All right. So that's that one. Now, ready for the next question?
Sure.
Okay. This one comes in two parts. This listener writes, the COA update feature disappears from the scanner.
COA is change of address.
Change of address. That's right. And it's a feature on your scanner that in the main menu, you can scroll down and you can see this option, COA update. And it will, if you scan an intelligent mail barcode that's on the front of your mail piece, it'll look up to see if there's a change of address on file for that person. And it'll sometimes let you make changes to that change of address as well, which is a really nice feature. As this person writes, they go on, it disappears from the scanner after 1 hour from clock in. I find the COA update feature very helpful on the route. National says that this is an office function, and that's why it disappears after the 1 hour. My questions are, one, what would be the process to try and get this feature available all day on the scanner? So let's address this one first. We don't have the ability, like, that's not up to us.
Right.
You know, so management owns the scanners. Management programs the scanners.
As you know, as a regular, when yep. there's a change of address, we get that sticker that says,
right,
hey, this person moved.
Okay. Yep.
And so if you use those pink cards, you use that to update your forward
right.
and so forth so that other people can look at your pink cards and see
right.
if there was a forward or not.
Right.
That's the part that we use. I mean, in reality, what you're talking about on the scanner, nobody's told anything about it. So that is just a special feature they put
yeah.
on there for you to use.
Right.
It was not in any handbooks and manuals.
It is not. And it's okay. not like management ever gave us, you know, classes on it or instructed us on
right.
it in the first place. So for something like that to be incorporated as part of our routine, as part of our day or whatever, it has to go through a process by which management and the union agree, and that's
mm-hmm.
done.
On Article 5, a unilateral decision has to be written and it go into contract or memorandum of some kind.
Right, right. Yeah. And this kind of falls under the purview of the Director of City Delivery,
mm-hmm.
which going forward after the next election, hopefully, is Rob Cozier. So, you know, right now, it's...
any idea what's going to happen to Chris Jackson then? Do you know?
I assume he's going to retire. I don't
okay.
know. Chris Jackson, right, is currently the director of city delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be an excellent question.
And he did a great job before Brian Renfro did
whatever
he did.
Took away his responsibilities. Yeah. yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got no issues with Chris Jackson,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, according to, I can't remember anybody's name. The business agent who's running for Mike Cariff,
mm-hmm.
that Chris Jackson was like, the first person to start standing up to Brian Renfro.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, credit where credit is due. But anyway, this would be a good question to direct to him
mm-hmm.
because that falls right under his purview. It's
yes.
like the actual procedures that we use for delivering the mail.
Yeah. And here's the thing is the updating the forwards and things like that, that is
yep.
actually a clerk function. So there could be something where
some
maybe,
parts of it maybe,
possibly
some may not.
A clerk's could have filed a grievance and they might have taken
maybe,
it away.
Maybe, because it took
you know?
Them out of the loop. Because
yeah.
like we fill out like the 3546, the correction to the change of address,
mm-hmm.
and then, yeah, that goes somewhere and it's handled by presumably a clerk.
Right.
And so, yeah, if this ices them out of that process, yeah, maybe that's the issue. I
mm-hmm.
really don't know.
Yeah, I've seen clerks file grievances because we're doing their job, so
right.
they can get that back.
Yeah,
but there's
for sure.
a bunch of other stuff that we're doing they can get back, and then they're
Dude.
Not doing that.
Yeah, like spreading DPS as an example.
What do you mean spreading DPS?
Like they're supposed to spread it to the case, right?
No.
Oh, no. It's
outside.
Yeah, never
it's
mind.
Supposed to be
mind.
Spread
yeah,
outside.
Yeah, because yeah, that's not an option.
What
yeah.
they're spreading in, not spreading
the
inside
spurs.
Is the
is it the
spurs and flats.
Right, the flat distribution.
They
yeah,
used
I knew
to
was
they
so.
Used to walk and deliver put the flats at our what do you call that? The battleship?
There's a flat coffin. Distribution.
Yeah, they used to put it in our coffin.
Oh, dude. My buddy who went to
they don't do that anymore.
Idaho, mm-hmm. he said they don't call it the coffin. It's mm-hmm. the flat stacker bin that's on. It's technically called the flat stacker bin on the side of your case. Mm-hmm. But he said they had some weird name for it up there. I forget what it
Everybody's
was.
Everybody's a different name. Just like relays, auxiliary assistance to handoff. Everybody uses different names for all these things that we have in the post office.
Yeah. Hey, when you meet a letter carrier from some other part of the country, that's always a fun thing to ask him is like, what do they call auxiliary assistance? Mm-hmm. You know, the most common seems to be pivot.
He says pivot, but if you look at the M41, it says relay.
It does, but it also refers to handoffs, like when doing route adjustments. Like it says that if it's permanent, mm-hmm. that your route's being adjusted, but it's just adjusted by giving away a portion of your territory every day, the portion you give away is called a handoff mm-hmm. in the M39. And so, yeah, all this stuff comes from somewhere. But I like,
So when the clerks, they could be filing grievances, and when some things get changed or different, that's probably because clerks file the grievance on it.
It could be. Yep. All right. So that's question number one. The answer to that is we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Question number two. What ways do you use to keep track of forwards on the street? I have many apartments on my route, and typically people move in and out without doing a change of address.
Well, I do not have an apartment on my route.
Right. But you have centralized delivery.
But I do know what I do with, because I have a central CBUs.
Yeah.
Okay. And to keep the forwards in track, I put it on the label with the red marker saying, F for forwards or individual for
BIF. The address label that we put inside the boxes.
And so forwards for like a family, then let's say the last name is Wilson. Then I'll put it as Wilson. If it's an individual forward, then I'll put Wilson S.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Because I don't want to use the full name. I just need one initial of that person.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I did the exact same thing when I had an apartment route, or I had an apartment complex, is all my boxes were labeled. And I have to imagine that everywhere in the country labels the same way. But dude, who knows with what we're talking about? So what we use are the plastic sleeves that come on the end of your trays, on the like your DPS trays. Mm-hmm. There's the plastic sleeve that the tray tag is inside.
Yep.
So you can get those plastic sleeves and you stick those inside the mailboxes, and then the tray tag, you flip it over and it's blank and you can write on it. And it's got that dividing line on it too.
With after so many DPS trays you've gotten, you can have a whole stack of those.
Yeah,
things.
They're in infinite supply. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And the tray tags, or the tray sleeves rather, mm-hmm. the tag sleeves, you should be able to get those in supplies like from your
supervisor. And you know what the funny part is that if your clerks are ordering supplies correctly, you can actually get those cards that goes inside that sleeve.
Oh, there you go. Nice and I know cart. There's blank ones that are available too that don't have the black line.
Yeah.
So for me, I like the black line because what I did at my apartment complex is the black line would go toward the bottom. So you got 2/3 on the top, 1/3 on the bottom.
I put it on top.
How dare you? That's so crazy. What are you, Australian?
All right. Again, see, there's no set way.
Yeah, there's no set way. Right. But I liked my boxes to be extremely uniform because I want it to be as easy as possible when I'm delivering the mail.
See, so, the reason I didn't have the black line on the bottom because I like to have the last name of the person on the bottom so I can see their name.
Ah, see,
better.
I do the opposite. Yeah. So, all right. So on mine, I put in the lower left corner in black ink, I put the apartment number. And then in the big space in blue ink on the top, the 2/3 on the top, I put the names and I just put the last name. Or if I don't have names, I'll put deliver all names.
But out of this, I guess you can see Alan and I both do things completely different.
I haven't got to mine.
But it is the carrier's responsive to how to manage your route the way you want that works the best for you.
So he's asking how we do it. Let me finish saying how I do it. So then, under the black line, in red ink, just like, and I use retractable Sharpies for this.
I have Sharpie too.
Because I like it to be nice and bold and easy to read. In red ink, or in red Sharpie, I'll write, just like Michael, F and then the name, or IF for individual forward, and then the name and the first initial. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And then I'll also put the expiration, and then often.
Yeah, I do that too. I put the expiration date too.
And then every so often, I go through and I update the tags. Yeah.
So what I do is I get those stickers in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And
the 3982 labels?
Yeah. The well, Ford, it doesn't say Ford name. You just get the sticker.
It's called a 3982.
Yeah. But I'm just saying you get the sticker. It doesn't say 3982. Yeah. Nobody
the
would know that.
The forward sticker, right.
So I'm talking about all these characters who don't know what that is.
But dude, when you just say I get the sticker,
uh-huh.
All right, go on.
You get the four stickers, okay?
Okay.
So the four sticker, I get it. Yeah. And I'll write up on that label.
I get
label,
Pokemon stickers.
And then I get out there.
Yeah.
And I find out that they already marked the name or something or whatever. And then I'll fold that in half. So that it only has the forward on the top and it goes on top of the label. Because I like to use those nice cards.
Oh,
and so when their ear is up, I just pull that tag and put them in the U-boat.
Ah, there you go. All right. Yeah, that's reasonable. So the other thing is when a unit is vacant, I know the carrier didn't ask about this, the questioner. Mm-hmm. But I'll take that card out from the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll recreate the card where I'll put the apartment number down in the lower left. I'll put the forward or whatever. And then in red, in the name field, I write vacant. And so the idea is that in a fraction of a second at a glance, it's really obvious what's vacant and what's not. I'm going to digress here because I got something that drives me crazy. Carriers will complain. I'll tell you what drives regular carriers crazy is when subs put mail in a box that's vacant. Well, what drives?
Let me tell you how I put vacant.
All right, and then we'll get back to it. Okay. Yeah.
I have green cards that says vacant and put in all the names.
Oh,
of people.
Oh, yeah, those are postal issue.
Yeah, that's a postal issue one. And I write on the top, I write no name, no mail.
Sure, so you don't start delivering until they fill out that card.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
And then around the box, I'll find the biggest rock that I can find.
Okay.
And then I put it on top of the card.
Sure, so it doesn't blow out or get taken out or whatever.
And so you cannot mistake the rock.
Right.
Okay. And you know what the worst part is? When those CCAs or somebody else do the relief, they'll put the mail on top of that rock.
Yes, they will. Yeah. And so that's I've seen even worse than that. Like, because you can also get postal issue box blockers, either cardboard or plastic, that will cover a vacant box. And I've seen people pull it out, put the mail in there, and put the blocker back in. Like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
When I was a CCA.
Yeah.
And I had an opt on a lady who was out for medical for like a year. And so instead of using the blocker, I would just use the vacation hold card and block it and write vacant on it and tape it up so you cannot put anything in it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, there you go.
And so my T6 thought it would be fun to knock them all over. He knocked them all out. I'm like, why would you do that?
Dude,
I blocked it so nobody can put mail in it.
Yeah. That's
so, and then your T6 does it. You're like, so it's not just CCAs.
All right. So let me go to the other side of that, though. From the CCA perspective, what I find incredibly annoying is when the regular carrier won't do the things that you and I were just talking about, what they'll do instead is like they'll take that tray tag and they'll just flip it upside down so that now like the DPS side is showing and they'll be like, oh, that means it's vacant.
Mm-hmm.
No. It doesn't.
Yeah, because I don't know other people. Like, yeah, I don't know what that means.
To you. Exactly. So, dude, you come back and there's mail in that box. That's on you.
Yeah.
Or I've heard of carriers saying like, oh, I put a rock in the box of any, like just pick up a rock off the ground, put it in the box, and that means it's vacant. Like, dude, how are people supposed to know that? Yeah. Get out of here with
this
that.
This is something for CCAs. If you see your regular doing whatever it is doing and you see a forward on there.
Right.
And what I would do is maybe write F on the letter saying it's a forward. So that when you're organizing the mail or you have organization thing in your truck already, so you can split the mail for forward ANKs and
skull tray, it's called. Yeah.
Unable to forward to whatever. You can sort the mail that way. So if you have that, do it that way.
Now we're going to get a letter about that because technically that's an office function and you should bring all that mail back in a big pile.
Technically you're supposed to manage it throughout the day.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Don't worry about it. Okay. At least I gave it lip service.
Okay. And if you really don't know how to do all of that, just rubber band it up and leave it for your regular to work on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would much rather have cleanup that I have to go through when I get back from a day off rather
instead
than
of putting all that mail on top of a vacant card forth. Exactly. That annoys the carriers more than bringing it back.
So there was a second part to this question because we covered how we handle forwards. And then at the end of the question, the listener writes, and typically people move in and out without doing a change of address. So that's a different issue. That one is where you have to manage the route, like staying on top of what's vacant and what's not. And an apartment complex is generally pretty easy because you just talk to the property manager. You know, go in every couple of weeks. You can ask them for a roster of the names of everybody who lives there. But the important thing is that they tell you which units are vacant. So when a unit is vacant, this is actual proper procedure. You're supposed to take that mail out and you're going to hold it at the post office for 10 days. You don't deliver any more mail and you do what's called an HFO, a hold for forward order. And in that 10 days, you're waiting to see if this person is going to put in a change of address. During that 10 days, one of two things is going to happen. Well, they're either going to put in a forward or they're not. If they do put in a forward, and by the way, you're going to hold all their mail, not just the preferential mail. You hold all their mail. At the end of that, if the forward comes in, then now what you're going to do is all the preferential mail, first class, priority, you know, second all class. That stuff. Yeah, all except that stuff, periodicals. Yeah, all the, right. You're going to forward all that mail, right, according to the forward. And then everything else gets thrown into the UBIM. If they never put in a forward, then now that HFO, all that mail becomes unclaimed. And you're going to return it to sender as unclaimed.
Except for pre-sort.
Except for the standard, which goes into the UBIM. Right, the right. Standard, nonprofit, marketing, bound, print, and matter. Those all go into the UBIM. Everything else gets returned as unclaimed. And then, or you can return it as attempted not known or whatever. I prefer unclaimed in that specific situation because you've been holding it. Then you're going to use the PS Form 3575Z. The move left no address. And this also used to be on the scanner, and I loved it.
And we called it MLNA.
MLNA, move left no address. And that lets our PARS system know, the Postal Automated Redirection System. Dude, this is all covered in a very early episode of Classes of Mail, PARS, CFS, and MLNA, or something like that, CFS, PARS, and it. That tells you how the system works. But you mark it as move left no address. You get that 3575Z. You're going to put their address in there, their name and their address. You mark it move left no address. And then when that goes into the system, this might actually still be on the scanner. I don't know. Anyway, when that goes into the system, now the automated system that automatically forwards people's mail is going to automatically return to sender those people's mail, and it never even comes to you anymore. It stops showing up. This is also a really good solution when you're, and this is covered in that episode, that when you're out on the street and somebody says like, hey, I keep getting mail for Jackson, and there's nobody by that name here. They haven't lived here in years. Is there a way that I can stop it? Yeah, there is. You as the carrier can use that 3575Z, put the name Jackson on there, and that mail is all going to get returned to sender. So that's how you handle when people move out and don't put in a forward.
Now, this is something that I did not know about.
Okay.
And so this is knowledge that Alan knows, which is great.
Oh, you're talking about the move left no address?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, okay. It's an awesome.
Because
wait, that... you didn't go back and listen to the back catalog of Classes of Mail?
I did not. I don't have the time to listen to every episode.
Yeah. I mean, there's coming up on 200 episodes.
Yeah, now. Exactly. Yeah, that's I don't a lot. Have time for all this. You know.
All right.
I try to pick and choose going through.
Yeah, and, understandable.
But mainly I.
Yeah,
been listening to for the last year and a half.
Well, 2 years arbitration. Worth. Yeah. Hey, so
because I listened from 8 arbitration. Let me put you on the spot. Over an hour.
This will be fun. Question from the mailbag. Because I just said them. What are the four classes of mail that can go into the UBIM?
Well, four classes of mail.
There are four classes of mail.
Well, I know there's pre-sort, standard.
Standard is one. Yeah, okay. The pre-sort doesn't really mean anything, but the standard is one.
Standard mail.
Okay, what else?
It actually says pre-sort, standard in some of them.
It does. Most of them it does. But yeah, standard
and
is the
standard mail.
Because you can have pre-sorted first
non-profit.
Class. Non-profit, that's two. Okay, so we get standard and non-profit.
Okay. I don't know, the EDDM?
That's usually that standard, but it does come in another class from time to time. Mm-hmm. That is one of the other classes that can go in.
Yeah.
But you don't...
But there's no... I don't remember the name of it.
It starts with an M. Come on. Marketing mail.
Marketing mail. That's there the EDDM that I'm thinking of.
Usually, oftentimes
mail.
It comes marketing.
Yeah, like Advos.
Nonprofit, marketing.
Like Advos or marketing.
And then you know, what's the other one?
I don't know.
Like the Uline catalogs.
Yeah, but those are...
What class of mail are those?
Those are standard.
They're not.
They're not.
No, if they're thick enough, they go to another class. bound printed matter.
Bound printed matter.
Yeah, that's also Yubum. See, guys, this is why you need classes of mail. Episode one was Yuba. Michael, you got to go back and listen to that episode. Get your act together.
I have to scroll all the way down there.
But, dude,
because it doesn't show up by in sequence. You have to go all the way up. Well, you can always sort
the other direction if it's on Spotify. But either way. So this is why this stuff is important, though. Because what if you accidentally, you wind up putting stuff into the Yubum that doesn't belong? Or vice versa. I mean, you would err on the side of caution. Don't put it in unless you're sure.
I was a clerk, so I know what to look for in the U-bomb.
Yeah.
What goes in and out. So it made it easy. So I knew which ones were bound mail, because bound mail, even though it says that you know that that's pre-sold.
Oh, dude, you can recognize the U-line catalog from across the across
anybody
the
knows U-line. Oh, it doesn't match. It goes right in the U-bomb.
It goes into the U-bomb. Right, exactly. But every once in a while, it'll have like change service.
Or if it's a change like service, then
service requested, then it can't go in.
Yeah.
Yep. Huh, like the damn Granger catalogs. Those are all bound printed matter. Right, they'll have a barcode on them. Yeah, I haven't either. They'll have a barcode on them. They come in a box, but they're bound printed matter. So if it's undeliverable, you got to scan that barcode and mark it as number 3 return to sender, and then whatever the reason is, and then it goes into the UBM. Although often those will have some kind of ancillary service on them, electronic or address service or whatever.
And here's another one is nonprofit mail.
Yeah.
What if it's got money in it?
Oh my God, that's such a great question. Dude, and this hits right onto that theme of local procedures. Because here, what we do is write Yubum on it, and then I go hand that to my supervisor.
That's what I do.
Supervisor opens it up. They take out that item of value. And it's not just cash or coins. There could be a stamp in there. Yes. Anything that has obvious value, you're going to take it, give it to your supervisor. They're going to take that out. Hopefully, they put it in the donut fund. And then you put the remainder into the Yubum.
Yes.
Yeah. And in fact, you'll see in some old stations or old equipment that the Yubum bucket actually has the letters NOV on it. November Oscar Victor. And that stands for no obvious value. And that's what that used to be, NOV mail. Now it's Yubum. But yeah, dude, that's a good call, Michael. All right, I think we should leave it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, we covered stuff. We covered stuff we didn't intend to cover.
Yeah, there you go.
By all means, if you got questions, you got comments, classesofmail@gmail.com. Guys, thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you all next time.